The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
And God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Hallelujah. I love that. God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. As we talk about the DNA of God, remember that God created all things and that everything exists and consists of God. Scientists have discovered and the truth that's been there since the beginning, that we all have DNA inside of us. There are traces of this alphabet, if you will, this chemical alphabet that defines who we are. And so, since God created everything, and we can see God's DNA in the things that are created, and that's what we've been doing. We've just been looking at what God has done, the things that the way that He moves and acts. And several weeks ago, we looked at the DNA is found in God the Father, and then last week we spoke at some length about the DNA as we can discover in Christ. And today we're going to address the issue of how do you experience the Holy Spirit's DNA. Now, that word experience I use because the Holy Spirit is an experience, all right? So I thought it would be interesting to look at the experiences of the Holy Spirit and then see His DNA at work. So let's look at John chapter 16, verses 12 through 15. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to Me by taking from what is Mine and making it your own. All that belongs to the Father is Mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will take from what is Mine and make it known to you." The Father spoke the promise of redemption. Jesus fulfilled that promise. And the Holy Spirit makes the promise available to the entire world. That is His job. The Father and Jesus have distinct DNA. They are unique. And it makes them identifiable and very different in their personalities and the things that they do. They both have different roles to fulfill. But they have this commonness about them that cannot be denied. You know, in the natural sense, we have our own unique DNA. But, you know, your DNA can be traced back to your parents, to your grandparents, back forever. That can be traced. Scientists can do this. But there's also a common thread that we all have. Part of our DNA is the commonness of being human beings. We're all descendants of Adam, if you will. So we have the commonness, and that's the same thing that we see with the Trinity. Now, the Holy Spirit has His own unique DNA. The major difference is that the Holy Spirit is actively working in the world today. He's actively doing what He does. The Holy Spirit is the messenger and the evidence of the truth. He's here to speak it so that we can understand it. You probably know this by now. If not, it's a good thing for you to know. You will never understand the Scriptures without the Holy Spirit. You'll never understand what's going on in life without the Holy Spirit. You'll never have any divine wisdom, any divine guidance without the Holy Spirit leading you. That's why you wonder sometimes the things that are going on in the world, and you just want to slap your head and say, what is the matter with these people? Do they not have a brain? Bob and I were talking about that earlier, you know. He told me a story, which I'm not going to repeat right here, because the story is not relevant, but the principle is relevant, that you see people doing things, they just say, what is wrong? Well, what is wrong is they don't have the Spirit of God. They don't have the Holy Spirit. And without the Holy Spirit, men and women do dumb and stupid things. You know, the decadence group that is down in New Orleans now and celebrating that. I mean, if the Holy Spirit was there speaking to them, which he probably is, and if they were listening, which they're probably not, it would make a big difference in what they'd be celebrating. They'd be running from what they have instead of celebrating what they have. Now, so how do we experience the DNA of the Holy Spirit? That's what we want to address this morning. And the first thing is that the Holy Spirit comes to you in power. He comes in power. And let's look at Acts chapter 8, verse 1. Excuse me, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. A little dyslexia there. But you will receive... I was just seeing how many of you knew where I was going. All right. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and until and the very ends of the earth. The great contrast between Jesus and the Holy Spirit's DNA is the manner in which they manifest themselves, the way that they showed themselves to the world. Jesus came and showed us something about God. The Holy Spirit comes and shows us some things. I want to give you some of the contrasts that are different. Jesus was born in that famous manger, right? Well, he came as a little babe. Very few people were there. Announcements was made to the shepherds. Don't let this bother you, but the wise men were not at the manger. They didn't come until years later, all right? So I know that all your little Christmas cribs have them there. That's okay, but they came, at a different time. The Holy Spirit, when he showed up, blew the doors right off the whole city. I mean, he came in such a manifest way that all the people of the city of Jerusalem, there were many people there for the feast day at that time, they ran to go see what was going on. So one is very quiet, very meek, very nondescript. The other is completely different. Holy Spirit came and just changed everything. Some of you who have sibling brothers and sisters, you would attest to this, that you may have come from the same family. In fact, Reggie mentioned this Wednesday night, you know, that of his five boys, and that how different they all are, raised in the same home, the same environment, the same parents, but they're different. In the same way, the Holy Spirit is different. Same DNA in many ways, but different and unique. Jesus was frail. He grew in stature and favor with man. He was just a little babe. But he didn't have any... don't let this bother you, but Jesus wasn't Superman, Lord, waiting for kryptonite to make him weak. He was a man of flesh who lived by the constraints of flesh, and therefore he was weak. The Holy Spirit, on the other hand, is absolutely unleashed. He cannot be controlled. He has great power and great might, and he is absolutely limitless in what he can do. Jesus was very much limited in what he could do. Jesus humbled himself. He became obedient to the cross and actually submitted himself to men who put him on a tree and killed him. I mean, he allowed that to happen. Trust me, no one is taking over the Holy Spirit. No one can control what he does. He doesn't humble himself to mankind. So he's completely different in the way that he manifests himself. Jesus labored and entered his rest. The Holy Spirit is laboring right now. The Holy Spirit is at work in the world today. Now, don't get mad at me, but Jesus is not here. Jesus is in the heavenly realm. He's with his Father in heaven. That's what the Scriptures tell us. What we have now is the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit. He's in the world today. There's a song that we sing, we serve our risen Savior, He's in the world today. You know, that's not true. He's not here. If He was here, we would know where He is. He would be in one place. He is limited to that. Because although He has a resurrected body, He is limited to be in one place at a time. So, but the Holy Spirit has none of those limitations. So there is a distinct difference. Now, the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, is available to everyone who asks for it. But you need to ask. You need to receive it. You need to say, this is what I desire. In the book of Acts, chapter 19, it said there was a group of people who had, the disciples came upon, and they asked them a question. They said, have you received the Holy Spirit? And I love their response. They said, we don't even know that there is such a thing. What is that? What is that all about? He said, we've only received the baptism of John for repentance. And I could see the disciples rubbing their little hands together and say, well, if we got something for you. And they prayed for him. They told him about the Holy Spirit, laid their hands on him. And they received the Holy Spirit just as the disciples had on the day of Pentecost. In the book of Luke, chapter 11, it says that the Holy Spirit is given by the Father to those who ask for it. And he said, he won't fool you. You mean your earthly father, it's, you know, you ask for something, that's what he gives you. So the heavenly Father won't give you something that's bad for you. You ask for a fish, you get a fish. You ask for, you know, whatever you ask for, that's what you receive. And when you ask for the Holy Spirit, that's what you receive. I shared with you several weeks ago that one of the things that happened to me in my, you know, testimony as a young Christian, when I discovered the truth of the Holy Spirit, the devil came along and told me that what had happened to me was of the devil, that it wasn't of God. And I spent 2 years researching that to see where I had gone wrong. You know, and I discovered after several years of studying that I hadn't gone wrong at all, that what had happened to me was the power of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is given by the Father to those who ask for it. In John chapter 14, Jesus said, I will ask the Father, and He will give you the Holy Spirit. John 20, Jesus breathed on His disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, why do we need the Holy Spirit? What's that all about? Isn't it enough to have Jesus? You would think so, but God didn't think so. Go back 2,000 years or so. Here we have a group of men and women who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. They trusted Him. They lived with Him. They ate with Him. They traveled with Him. They saw Him die. They saw Him buried. They saw Him resurrected. And He said to them, as He was getting ready to leave and ascended in heaven, He said, do not leave Jerusalem. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus knew that in order for the gospel to go out, for the word to spread, that the gang that He had couldn't do it. They didn't have the ability to do it. And, you know, when you read the book of Acts and you see the thing, you know, and I hate to pick on Peter, I mean, but he's a great example. But, you know, he was in trouble. He's saying the wrong things. He's denying the Lord. You know, he's got a heart for God. You know, I'll never deny you. And then we see the story of him denying the Lord. I'll never desert you. And he ran when trouble finally showed up. We see that in all of the church before the baptism of the Holy Spirit shows up. On the day of Pentecost, then take a look at Peter and what's different about him. He's bold. He's speaking with authority. He knows the scriptures. He understands. Before that, Jesus would say something. They'd get together and they'd scratch their head and said, what did he mean? I don't know what that means. I don't understand. And they'd go to him and they'd say, "Would you explain that again?" And then he would explain it again. And you could see him walking away, just scratching their heads and saying, "I don't get it. I don't get it." But once the Holy Spirit shows up, they got it. They understood, because the Spirit of truth came and spoke to them and reminded them, to use today's vernacular, he connected all the dots. And they were suddenly different. They were able to go up. It says that they turned the whole world upside down. In other words, where the world was, they flipped it over to the right side, because truth began to be proclaimed. And they did this by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, if they needed the Holy Spirit then, which I don't think anyone on the planet could deny, they needed the Holy Spirit. Do we need the Holy Spirit today?
Absolutely.
Well, if we're going to get the gospel out, we do. If we're going to be able to survive in this crazy world, we do. There's no scriptural evidence, none whatsoever, and I'm going to talk about this a little bit more in a moment, but there's no scriptural evidence that the Holy Spirit quit doing what he started to do on the day of Pentecost. He still wants to do those things. So, let's look at the second thing, is that the Holy Spirit comes to you as charismatic. He is very charismatic. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 7. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of workings, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now, to each one, the manifestation, I want you to remember that word, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. The wise men brought gifts to Jesus. The Holy Spirit brought gifts to men. The Holy Spirit brought gifts to men. The wise men brought gifts to the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit, the word that is used there is the Greek word charisma. And it's a word that we get, that we're so familiar with, charismatic. Have you ever met a charismatic person? Sure you have. Some people are just charismatic. They're charismatic in nature. And what is it about charismatic people? You kind of like to be around them. You know, they just everything they say just seems to make sense. You know, their movements, the way they treat you makes you feel very important. You know, they've got a charisma about them. That word charisma is a derivative of another word, charis, which is the word that we get grace from. Grace, the gifts, charismatic, that's all intertwined together. Now, why would God choose that word to describe what the Holy Spirit was doing? Because he's very, very intoxicating. He's very, very charismatic. He's very, very appealing. I heard someone say one time that he'd never met anyone who was sorry he was a Christian, although he had met some sorry Christians. The Holy Spirit wants nothing but good for you. And he wants to do good in you and through you. And he wants to release himself in you to do the work that needs to be done. Now, the thing about the gifts of the Spirit it doesn't say it right here, but I'll show you in a minute somewhere else. But they're given freely. You can't earn salvation, and you can't earn the Holy Spirit. You remember the story of the guy one time when he saw the disciples healing people and great power and might was being manifest, and he said to Peter, "Man, this is just what I need." And he said, "How much is it?" And the response he got was, "You'll perish and your mom should perish with you, because you cannot buy the Holy Spirit. You cannot earn it. You cannot purchase it. The Holy Spirit is a gift from God to you." It's a free manifestation of the Holy Spirit. The gifts are a manifestation. The Greek word there is to manifest, is to make something visible or to make it known. All right, I'm giving you a lot of background. Let me make it more practical to you. In order to see the power that really exists in the Godhead, God chose to send the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. And when He shows up, things are different. They're always different when the Holy Spirit shows up. I remember when I became a Christian, and I was so excited about being a believer. I mean, I was just overwhelmed with forgiveness. I was just so different. I'd look in the mirror, didn't know who I was. I was like that movie where the guy shrunk and became a little boy. I remember Tom Hanks played that, called Big. You know, I didn't shrink. He got big. You know, he became a young adult. And, man, I was just so excited. I didn't know who I was. Well, I'd never heard of the Holy Spirit. I mean, I'd heard of Him, but, I mean, I didn't know a thing. I was a blank page. And someone gave me a little book, a little paperback book, written by someone that you know very well. His name is Pat Boone. And Pat Boone wrote a little book. It probably didn't have 50 pages in it, called A New Song. And I liked Pat Boone. He kind of liked the way he sang, you know, and he was kind of one of my contemporaries that I understood. And I got that little book, and I started reading it. And as I read it, Pat Boone started talking about this thing called the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I'd never heard of that. I had no clue what it was. So as I was reading that little book, and it was in the middle of the afternoon, I was unemployed. That was my status in life at that time. I couldn't buy a job, couldn't get a job. My life was a wreck. I just found Christ just a short, maybe 30 days before. And I'm sitting up in bed in the middle of the afternoon in the house by myself, and I'm reading this little book. And it says, you can receive the Holy Spirit. All you have to do is ask for it. And I thought, and it had scriptures there. And I had learned by this time to use my Bible. So I went and looked up all the scriptures that were in there. And I said, you know, this looks cool. You know, and if this is of you, Lord, this is what I need. This is what I want. If they needed it, I need it. So I'm just sitting up in bed. I said, Lord, would you just baptize me in the Holy Spirit? You know what happened? I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. I started speaking in other tongues. I'd never heard that I can remember, and I think I'm 100% right on this, I'd never heard anybody speak in other tongues. I mean, it was just, and I heard myself saying, I said, whoa, what is this? I mean, this is cool, you know? And I was just overwhelmed by the presence of God. And I thought, I wonder if I can stop. I mean, I didn't know what was going on. So I just went, I literally put my hand over my mouth. And I stopped speaking. And I thought, man, I wonder if I can do it again. And so I just yielded myself and I began to speak. And so, I mean, I was beside myself. I was literally beside myself. And I remember I told Pat later that day what had happened. Now, she's a brand new Christian too. I mean, she's just as, you know, spiritually dumb as a rock as I am. I mean, we don't know nothing. And so, yeah. So I told her what happened, and she said, oh, you know, I mean, our life has changed so much. I mean, here I am, a success seeker. I'm trying to be rich and famous and, you know, all the things that we're going through. Now I've turned into a religious nut. You know, I'm reading the Bible all the time, you know, studying, and now I come up with something else. And she just took me at my word, you know. I mean, she knew at that point in time that something was going on in my life. And it wasn't much longer after that that she also received this wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit. So why am I telling you this? I'm telling you this because it's real. You know, and I didn't have, you know, we lay hands on people and they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, it can be in a big, you know, charismatic meeting that it can happen, but it can happen in bed in the middle of the afternoon reading Pat Boone's book called A New Song. The Holy Spirit just showed up because I was willing and I asked and I received it. So that's what happened to me. Now, what happens, okay, now watch me now. What happens is the Holy Spirit immerses us. It's the same word, baptized, that is used for baptism in water, to be immersed, okay? Not to be sprinkled, but to immerse. So you get immersed in the Holy Spirit. It's not that you don't have the Holy Spirit when you become a believer. The Holy Spirit resides in you, but this is an additional thing that happens. Now, you would say to me, well, why? Well, you know my answer? I don't know. I can tell you that we need it, the church needs it, but I can't tell you why God chose to do it that way. Why didn't you get baptized in the Holy Spirit when you get saved? You just have to talk to Jesus. Don't talk to me. Now, I can't explain it. I'm just telling you what the Bible says and what my own personal experience is. Now, you might not believe my experience. You might say, Morris, eating too much pizza, you know. Where did you come up with that cockamamie story from? You can deny my experience, but you can't deny the Word of God. Amen. And that's what the Word of God says. And that these gifts are the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. He makes things, that's who He is. You know, if we looked at your DNA under a microscope, we can see who your chemical signature is. Well, if you want to know what the signature, the DNA of the Holy Spirit is, just look at what He does. Fortunately for us, there are some lists in the Bible that tells us what the Holy Spirit is like and what He does. And we're not going to go through the whole list this morning and study it. Just study for another time. But in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, He talks about the gifts of wisdom. Talks about the gift of knowledge. Talks about the gift of the faith. The gift of healing. Miraculous power. About the gifts of prophecy. The gift of discernment of spirits or distinguishing of spirits. The gift of tongues. And the gift of the interpretation of tongues. There are some others, but that's a pretty good list right there. So do you want to know what the Holy Spirit is like? He's wisdom. He's knowledge. He's power. He's miracles. He's healing. He's speaks in other tongues, interpretation of tongues. That's the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. That's what He does. Now, we sometimes think when we talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit that it's something that, something that we do. It's the yielding of your body, but it's the manifestation of the Spirit of God. Many times through the years, I've prayed for people who receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And one of the evidences, not the only evidence, but one of the evidences, most common evidences, people begin to speak in tongues. And so I try to encourage them and say, now I'm going to pray for you in English, and then I'm going to pray for you in the Spirit. Now what I want you to do is just begin to pray, just begin to speak. And they won't say anything. I say, you got to get the thing moving, you know. You got to get your lips and your tongue and your vocal cords. You got to get all that moving. The Holy Spirit's not going to do what you don't yield. Now, so when you want to see miracles happen, you have to yield yourself to pray for someone to receive a miracle. You have to do that. If you won't yield yourself to pray for someone to receive a miracle, the manifestation of miracles through the Holy Spirit won't work through you. If you need wisdom, you need to yield your members to the Holy Spirit to let Him manifest Himself in wisdom. You need to speak. You know, this is why I love this. One of the things I love to do. I love to pick on the guys in this church. I love guys. Man, all you guys, I'm a man's man. I love to be around guys. I understand men. I don't understand a thing about women, all right? But one of the things that happens in church so often is that men shut up, won't let the Holy Spirit manifest through them, and all the ladies take over. And I love the ladies ministering in the church. I'm so thankful when they have a word, a prophetic word, you know, a message from the Scriptures, you know. And, man, thank God for it. But, you know, I want to hear some baritones in the church. I want you guys to begin to speak up. The same Holy Spirit is in you as in these women. And you need to speak out. But I tell you, the women want you to do that. Am I right, ladies?
Yes.
We need amen. And just let the Holy Spirit manifest through you. So guys, just yield yourself. So, well, how do I know it's God? Well, this is how we know it's God. I've got the job of telling whether or not it's God. I am the one who's in control. I'm the one, as an elder in the church, who decides if you say something, you know, some, let's say you have a prophetic word. And a prophetic word, the heart, the Lord just been speaking on your heart. Might happen the night before, just speaking to your heart. And you might come to church and said, you know, I just believe that God wants to speak to us, to encourage us that good times are coming. And you really feel that. And you speak that out. Well, I can judge that. That's the Spirit of God. Now, if you come in here and say, God told me that everybody in this place is going to hell. I'm throwing you out of here. You know, that's easy. I can judge that, all right? But the responsibility comes to me as the elder and the pastor of the church to handle those things, all right? So you just yield to yourself. And, you know, it's like riding a bike, if you will. When you first learned how to ride a bike, you put training wheels on that baby, didn't you? You know, your mom and your daddy held the seat to make sure you didn't fall and break your little neck. Well, in the same way, you put training wheels on yourself spiritually, and you just start moving. You start trying things. I mean, I didn't do some of the things that I was able to do later in my spiritual walk when I first got started because I didn't know what I was doing. I remember, just some of the events. I remember the first time I ran into a demon-possessed person, you know, as a young Christian. Man, I got my socks blown off. I didn't know what I was doing. I prayed everything I knew, you know. But the power of God was there to do it, thank goodness. Although I didn't know what was going on, the manifestation of the Spirit was there to do it. Now, let me tell you something about the Holy Spirit. He has been maligned. The Holy Spirit has been maligned since the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, what did the people say about the Holy Spirit? I'm going to tell you. You don't have to answer it. He said, because Peter addressed it, he said, these men are not drunk as you would suppose. So the first thing to malign the Holy Spirit is that they were drinking and that they were drunk. And he said, no, he said, they're not drunk as you would suppose, but this is the promise that has been given through the prophet Joel. And he quoted Joel and said in the latter days and the things that would happen. So it started there. The gifts of the Holy Spirit begin to be used for personal gain. That's one of the major issues that Paul addressed in the book of Corinthians, that they were using it for their own personal gain. He said, you come together, it's not for good. You know, you're just going running rampant. And he said, this is the way it needs to be. You need to have some decency and order about what's happening here. You know, somebody brings a word, you know, two or three. I mean, we don't count around here, three or four. I mean, he's just not giving us a specific number. He's giving us some generalization about, you know, if it was to be three, he said, no more than three. He didn't say that. He said two or three, all right? So there's some order in what takes place. But they were using the gifts in the wrong way. Now, along with the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, the gifts have been attributed to Satan. I know some of you in this room have been told that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is of the devil. Now, you know why I know that? Because I've been told that, and other people I know have been told that. Jesus said, and they said, don't attribute what I'm doing to the work of the devil. He said, there's a lot of stuff you can get away with, but you don't want to do that. That's my words for what he said. You don't want to do that. I remember Pat and I were, long story short version, helping to get a church started in the community years ago. And we were just, you know, regulars. I wasn't going to be a pastor or anything like that. And we were writing the bylaws and constitution of the church. And the pastor, who was going to be the pastor, wrote out that we believe that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is of the devil. And I saw that. I said, are you out of your mind? I said, you can't put that in there. And he said, well, we believe that's of the devil. Of course, he didn't know I had the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I said, I would never be a part of an organization that did that. I said, you would never attribute the workings of God to the devil. He said, well, we don't believe that. I said, well, it's all right not to believe it, but don't put it down to paper that way. There's the bylaws and constitution of this church. And they insisted on doing that, and I left. I wouldn't be a part of that. You know, I mean, that is spiritual suicide to do something like that. But, you know, those kinds of things happen. So, you know, I am aware of it. Now, and probably one of the biggest things that has happened is people have denied the presence of the Holy Spirit. I don't believe in the Holy Spirit. Well, you better believe. He believes in you, you know. He said, well, you know, that was for somebody else. It's not for me. Now, I do not have dementia. I have a sound mind. And the story I'm about to tell you, some of you heard before, so I realize that I'm repeating it. But it's such a great story. Because my dad, who came to the Lord, I led him to the Lord, and he was in his early 60s. And my dad was like me in many ways. He was just so on fire for the Lord. I mean, here's a man with a fourth grade education, could barely read, and he could read the Bible. It was amazing to see. It was just incredible to see. And I told him, I said, Dad, you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He said, oh, no, I don't need that. He said, I got everything I need. I said, Dad, you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He said, no, Morris, I got that. I don't, that's good for some people. I don't need that. Well, he went to a meeting that Marvin Gorman was holding down in New Orleans. He was on a Monday night. He went there. My dad got prayed for, got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Began to speak in other tongues. He called me on the phone. He said, guess what happened to me? And I said, what? He said, I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. He said, this is just what I needed. I said, Dago, if I could get through this bone, I'd wring your little neck. I've been telling you that for months now. You know? But he was resisting the power of the Holy Spirit. And I've got to tell you, in the power of the Holy Spirit, just a quick story about my dad. When he was 70 years old, he went to work in a factory in New Orleans. I mean, he was a laborer. He worked with his hands. He didn't have to do it. He went to work to earn money to give to the work of the Lord. He said, some people can preach, I can work. And when he went there, he was the only Christian among several hundred men. And at lunchtime, he used to get his lunch pail, sit out in the yard and open his lunch, and he'd open up his Bible there. And they used to ridicule him and just make fun of him. They called him the preacher. You know, he'd try to talk to them about the Lord. In a period of about 2 years, there were Bible studies at lunchtime all over that plant. I can't tell you how many people my dad led to the Lord. And he did it. But he did it in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how he did it. So that's what I'm trying to tell you to build the case as to why we need these charismatic gifts working in our lives. All right? Now, I challenge anyone to do this. I challenge you to do what I did. If you have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you've been taught a lot of things about it, do what I did. I set out to see if the baptism of the Holy Spirit was in the Bible. That's what I did for a 2-year period. I looked, and I came to the conclusion that it is a real event in the Bible. All right? So I challenge you to do that. The second thing is, because I was told that it no longer exists, that the church didn't need that anywhere. So in that 2-year period, I looked everywhere to find where it says that the baptism of the Holy Spirit has ceased. I cannot find it. You know why I can't find it? It's not in there. Okay? And the third thing is, and this is a question I ask myself, and you need to ask yourself, what does that mean to me? What does that mean to me? And what it meant to me was that I needed the power of the Holy Spirit. And I yielded myself to the Holy Spirit. I said, okay, God, if this is what you want, then I'm willing to go along with it. It's not I proclaim Christ, but I proclaim Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's his job. That's what he does. He strengthens me. Believe me, I couldn't do what I do if it was not for the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, dwelling in me and on me, and surrounding me. So, brings me to my third point that I want to mention today. The Holy Spirit comes to you as a communicator. He is the great communicator. John 16:13. Let's look at that. We looked at this earlier. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. The Holy Spirit's message is the same as the Father's and Jesus. It's not a different message. And the Holy Spirit testifies to the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what he does. He testifies to the truth of it. The Holy Spirit is not an end, but a means to an end. We don't receive the Holy Spirit so that we can say, oh, well, I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's not the point. You receive what you need in order to proclaim the gospel of Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin. That's his job. He convicts the world of what's going on. Now, people may have a conscience and they can sear their conscience over, but they can't sear out the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin. But the Holy Spirit speaks to believers about forgiveness and the new birth. He speaks to you to remind you who you are in Christ. That's one of the things he's doing. He's the encourager. He encourages you. He's enthusiastic about God and Christ and the gospel, about the church and about you. And he wants to build you up on your most holy faith. In fact, Paul talks about speaking in other tongues. And he said that when we speak in tongues, when we pray in tongues, he said we build ourselves up. We get stronger spiritually through the praying of in the Spirit. Again, I'm not going to go through that teaching this morning. Maybe we'll do that at a later date. But that's what that's all about. The Holy Spirit assures believers of who you are in Christ. You know, when you hear, you know, we talk about grace around here. We talk about the power of God. And inside of you, you get all fired up and you go, yes, amen, hallelujah. You get like Dennis. Dennis went a little crazy this morning, you know. Just got the shouting in here. I asked his wife. I said, you got him at Starbucks drinking that caffeinated coffee? And she said, no, it wasn't Starbucks. You know, the Holy Spirit within him, that enthusiasm of the Holy Spirit got fired up in Dennis. He sees the unrighteousness taking place in the world. He knows the truth of the gospel. He wants the world to know about it. And he speaks about it. So that's God dwelling within you, the Holy Spirit, bringing that out in you, assuring you of who you are and what needs to be done. The Holy Spirit is described as by several different words that help us identify his DNA. In some translations, he's called the Comforter. Jesus said, I'll send the Comforter. And that word means a lot. I mean, when you need comfort, when you're going through hard times, you know, when the devil, the world, and the church has beat you up, you need some comfort. I thought I'd get a laugh out of that one, the church. You just weren't paying attention to me, all right. But when you get beat up, you need some comfort. You know, if you're laying on the side of the road and you've been run over by a truck, you want somebody to come comfort you and say, you're going to be okay. You don't go down and say, you're going to die, buddy. No, you want somebody to come and say, you're going to be all right. You know, you're going to be okay. You know, some encouragement, some comfort of where you are. But that same word is translated many times as a counselor. And we need counsel. Have you figured out yet that you don't have all the answers? Have you figured out yet that you need somebody to tell you what to do with your life? Have you figured out that you need God to speak to you? I was talking to someone this morning about that very subject, about needing direction from God. You know, there's something that this person wanted to do. I said, well, pray and ask the Holy Spirit to tell you what to do. Now, it's a lot easier in most churches for the pastor to tell you what to do. But it's a lot more beneficial to you to get the Holy Spirit to tell you what to do. Don't depend on me. My goodness, I get you in more trouble than you can deal with. But you need to depend on the Holy Spirit. That's why when we do things around here, we don't do them suddenly. We take time. We think about things. We pray about things. We make sure we've heard from God. And if we don't hear from God, we don't do anything. We wait till we hear the assurance of the wisdom of the counselor. That word is also translated as encourager, to be encouraged in life. You know, this life is hard. I mean, you need to be encouraged. Some of you need to really be encouraged. You know, you got kids that are out of control. You got money problems. You got health problems. You've got political people in office problems. You know, you've got, the list goes on and on and on. You need somebody to encourage you. You get encouragement from the Holy Spirit. That's what He does. He comes along to build you up, to encourage you. Say, you're okay. Remind, you put scriptures to your mind that you hadn't even thought about. And you'll think about, David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken of this seed. I'll beg him for bread. And you can say, that's for me. That's the Holy Spirit gives that to you. Knowing the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will call it to your mind. It's also used as an advocate. It's translated, this same word is translated as an advocate. And it's used in different places, and it's telling us something about the Holy Spirit. He stands up for you. You know, sometimes you need somebody to stand up for you. You know, to say, this person's okay. They're all right. And that's what he does. He said, this is one of mine. They belong to me. You know, I've sealed them with myself. The Holy Spirit, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. You've been given that earnest, that down payment of things to come. That's the Holy Spirit within you. That's how we're living stones, all built together. That's how we talk about Christ living in us and then the power of the Holy Spirit upon us. Much of what is wrong with the church today is that we don't believe in the power of the Holy Spirit anymore. So we don't get any comfort. We don't get any counsel. We don't get any encouragement. We don't have anybody on our side. And we end up as wrecks. You know, we never can get things right. That's why we need this power of the Holy Spirit. He teaches us what we need to know. He teaches us what we need to know. You know, if you ever have, some of you I know have, had a top secret security clearance. You had it for in the military or in your job that you might have had. And one thing I discovered about having a top secret security clearance, they don't tell you everything. There's only one thing they tell you, what you need to know. And the Holy Spirit is the same way. He'll only tell you what you need to know. He's not going to give you more than you can carry or you can bear. That scripture that we read earlier where it says, Jesus said, I have many things to tell you, you're not able to bear them right now. But what you're able to bear at the right time, the Holy Spirit will tell you to build you up on your most holy faith. All right? So, He then empowers us to do what needs to be done. You know, when you read the book of Acts, and I encourage you to read it, you see all the wonderful things that were happening. People were getting saved. People were getting delivered. People were getting healed. Miracles were taking place. Tremendous, tremendous things were happening. How did those guys do that? Of their own power? Of their own human nature? Their own will? Of course not. They did it by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm here to tell you that the same Spirit that was at work in the book of Acts is at work in the world today. Amen. And what He's looking for is yielded vessels who will yield to Him and let Him manifest Himself through them. Now, somebody might say to me, say, well, how do you know if you have the Holy Spirit? That's like asking me, how do you know if you're saved? You either know it or you don't know it. You either have it or you don't have it. And you know. You know, I was going to use one of my daddy's words. I've been thinking about it. I guess his boogaboo is one of my dad's favorite words. You might boogaboo me, but you can't boogaboo the Holy Spirit, all right? You can't boogaboo yourself. You know what's going on. I don't even think that's a word. I don't know where. My dad could make up words. I don't know where that came from, but that's it. There you go. Those of you who are watching on the internet, I really do have an education, you know, so I... But that's a good word. I don't know where that came from. Man, that must be the Holy Spirit, I guess. But I want you to pray about that, okay? Pray about the Holy Spirit. You know, I don't have any problem with folks believing in the Father. I don't have any trouble with them believing in the Son. But there seems to be a resistance to the Holy Spirit. And I don't know why, but there is. Don't resist the Holy Spirit. I mean, He is the reason that we're able to be here. If the Holy Spirit, which He will be one day, when He's taken out of the world, this is not going to be a very pleasant place to be. Okay? But as long as He's here, that's His DNA. That's who He is, and you can't deny it. If you want some more information on this, I'll be glad to talk to you about it. We've got some literature in the back. It'll tell you about it. I've got that little book, Neither Do I Condemn You, and I address some of the issues in there. But the best place to go is just go to the Bible. Just study it out for yourself, all right? Amen? Amen. All right, let's all stand. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. I got myself all happy again. Lord willing, next week I'll be speaking about the DNA of the Holy Spirit is seen in the church. In the church, in you, in the church, okay? Glory, glory, glory. Father, we thank you in the precious name of Jesus for your word. It is indeed meat and drink to us. It nourishes us. It quenches our thirst. It gives us hope in every hopeless situation. Lord, we submit ourselves to you. We believe in you. We believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We believe in the Trinity. We believe in your unique DNA. And Lord, we do confess that we don't understand it all, that we're pilgrims who are learning, but we do trust in you and we believe in you. And we ask you to reveal yourself to us as only you can. Would you just watch over us today, Lord, the rest of this day and this week, and allow us to get back together soon where we can worship and pray and study again. We thank you, Father, in the wonderful name of Jesus the Son, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen, amen. And amen. Now, before I dismiss you, let me remind you to come on Wednesday night if you can. Reggie's doing a great job. He's still feeling kind of poorly. He was supposed to sing today, and obviously his wife is here, and he's not here, so you remember to pray for Reggie. But he's doing a really good job on Wednesday, and I'd encourage you to come if you can.